Well, it's a joy to be up in the pulpit again. I'll be honest with you, I can't wait to get to Brazil to be in the pulpit more. And so I will be there in a week. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday, and then we leave on Labor Day, September 2nd. We originally were going to leave September 3rd, but the whole airline moved us back a day. So I hate leaving on Mondays, but God has a reason for us doing that. It's been a great year, and I finally did it. I finally got it. It's not the best quality, but I think it's pretty good. I mean, we kind of look good, our family does, so it's pretty good quality. But we have our prayer card out there in the main entrance, and so please grab our prayer card. The purpose for it is to remind you to pray for us because we need your prayers. The family of God, I was just thinking about one of the biggest encouragements that I get is knowing that you're praying for us. Matter of fact, let me just encourage you about what you're doing in prayer. We've served 25 years in Maceió, and the Lord has just blessed and multiplied the ministries there. And some of the things that have shocked me is, and I don't know why I'm shocked by it, it's just lack of faith, I guess. But it's when you preach the Bible and you preach the Word of God, it tells you to go to all nations. And I never imagined Brazilians doing that. I don't know why. I just imagined when I went back in 1994 to Brazil, I imagined starting a church by God's grace, and that was it. I don't know why. I just didn't have much more vision more than that. But as the Lord blessed and multiplied the ministry, I just want to encourage your heart here at Countryside. You do not support missionaries just in Mexico and in Brazil. You actually, in our Brazilian ministries, we have people rising up and going to Europe. And we have a lady just left and is going to Africa, Mozambique, Africa. And Lord willing, Pastor Eddie Amon and myself get to teach pastors and train guys in Mozambique, Africa in February. So what I'm trying to say to you is that as you pray for the ministry in Brazil, God is multiplying, God is working, and the ministry is expanding and growing, and we actually are seeing your grandkids go to Europe, your grandkids go to Africa. Isn't that exciting? You can clap your hands for that to the God's glory. I love that. Now, if you're ever, if you're just new at Countryside, we don't do that. We don't clap. That's not a norm, is it? Yeah. So that's why I'm leaving in 8 days. So, but we want to thank you personally as a family this year being back home for just transition purposes and for family purpose and just to renew our energy and excitement for God's ministry. It's been rich. It's been a joy. And I tell you, just being around you guys, not just the future leaders like Alex and these young men and around our leaders like Brother Brian and others, but being around you, the body, that's one of the greatest assets we have at Countryside, is the body. You guys are amazing, and I praise the Lord for you. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6. Preaching expositionally, the pastors, the senior pastor or the founding pastor, Pastor Mike's preaching the book of Acts. The rest of us are preaching through the book of Ephesians. And I get the wonderful text of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. I titled it, The Spirit-Filled Family, Part 3. We had Part 1, Part 2, and this is Part 3. When I was being ordained, one of the pastors in the ordination board encouraged me to pray for my kids, which at that time I had none. And he reminded me that if they turn out good, it's all to the glory of God. It was really good advice. But it's also true that if your kids don't act and behave real well, it reflects mom and dad. I mean, we see that in 1 Timothy, where it tells us that deacons and pastors can only become deacons and pastors as if they manage their home with dignity. So I've known a guy in Brazil, he had a child, and the child just was rebellious, and he was the greatest guy. And the church could not make him a deacon until he got his children under control. So Scripture teaches us that there are responsibilities that we have that reflect us, but if our kids turn out great, it's all to the glory of who? God. It's kind of like our salvation, isn't it? We must put our faith in Christ personally, but when we do, we realize it was all God. If you go to hell, it's your fault. You go to heaven, it's God's fault. I don't understand it completely. I just have to preach it biblically and accurately. I'm really glad that guys who write books about the family are wrong. I've read, when I started having children, I would start reading all kinds of books. And I remember one book, I can't tell you who the author was, but he said, you have to the age of 6 to save your kids. In the sense of giving them all the character qualities they need and everything. I turned and looked at Crystal and I said, Joshua's done. He is a mess. We have failed. We need to pack up and move back and hide in Wisconsin or something. I don't know. And praise the Lord, Joshua is wanting to be a missionary today, isn't he? But I'm so glad that Jesus loves children. Don't you? I am so glad for that. I am so glad that God gives us instructions. And I'll tell you this, I am so glad for our pastors at Countryside. As I was coming up through Countryside in 1991, we had a lot of teaching on the family and biblical teaching. And I praise the Lord for that. God is concerned for your family. Let me ask you this question. Do you practice your role and responsibility in your family in a way that honors God? Do others see that your family is different? The theme I have for Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 this morning is this. We must practice our roles and responsibilities in the family by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice the first point, the main point. Notice that the Christian family's roles. Let's read that text in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And as I read it, see if you can see all the roles in the Christian family that's presented here in this text. And let me just say, you may not have kids no longer, but you may give counsel. And there's sometimes a lot of counsel that's not biblical. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes as older people, we give counsel to the younger people on how they should raise their kids or how they should take care of their kids, and it's not biblical even though we're Christian. And so I want us to listen to the text and learn how to give the biblical counsel. And all Scripture is profitable for us, so I believe that all of us will profit from today from this text focused on the family. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I see three roles already, but let's continue reading, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is his first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. First role in the Christian family is God. God. You go into someone's home and they have a beautiful family portrait. But what they lack in the portrait is the image of God. Now, it's good they don't put it because we don't want to break the commandment, right? But let me say this. Every Christian family better always show the presence of God in all they do. Yes, our picture in the home that sits and shows our family and our picture of prayer card doesn't have an image of God, but I hope and pray that as you come close to us, that as you come to Brazil and visit us, that you will sense that we are different because of the role of Jesus Christ in our life. First role in the Christian family, first position should be God. Joshua, the father of Moses, said it like this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you catch that? Me and my house. One great godly man who's passed away said it this way, the Christian family must be fashioned by the framework of the Word of God. Now, I get it. God is above the family. But Scriptures teach us also that God is involved in the family. Psalm 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. And so God isn't supposed to be involved in our families. I was catching a plane to go to Israel one time, and I was sitting by a Jewish doctor. And we started talking about his Judaism and my Christianity. He was shocked. He was shocked. He was in awe that my faith actually influenced who I should marry and how to raise children. He was impressed with that. He could not believe that. And it's because why? Because God is the prominent role. He's the one that tells us what we ought and ought not to do. He is involved in the family. According to Ephesians 5:18, look there real quick, and that is why we gave the title, The Spirit-Filled Family, Part 1, 2, and 3, is because God empowers the Christian family. 5:18 says what? Do not get drunk with wine, for it is a dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you will do those things in verse 19 through 21, and then he links it clearly to verse 22 into the family, launching it into a Spirit-filled family. In other words, theology is the basis of the family. Listen, there is no greater worldview than Christianity. There isn't. No other worldview can claim communication, can claim love and relationship. Other religions say they have only one God. We have one God with three persons, and it's one called the Father, and the other is called the Son. Why? Because he is the basis for all expression of communication and love and relationship. We only hold that. Those who trust in the Trinity of God, of the Bible. Our children must see that God is preeminent in the role of the family. Sometimes families tell me that the first verse their children learn is Ephesians 6:1, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's great. But maybe we ought to go to Deuteronomy 6:5 and make that the first one, which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. See, I want my kids to understand, yes, daddy is the king of the castle, but who lords over it is Jesus Christ. Who tells daddy what to do is Jesus. And you know one way, daddies, to show that? I'll give you a real practical way. Ask your kids forgiveness. That is a great way to show that Jesus is the prominent role in your family. What? You ask forgiveness? Yeah. I come up to James and I say, James, dad spoke a little harsh. Jesus isn't happy with that. See? I want my kids to know that the prominent role in our family is not dad. It's Jesus. Well, we see also here in Deuteronomy 6, another role, and that's the role of the children. He says it right away, children. And I just want to mention quickly here that the role of the children is basically they're welcome members into the family. They are not the command central of the family. They're not the ones that tell us what church we ought to go to. They're not the ones that tell me where we go out to eat. They can suggest, you know. I took a vote one time with my kids, all five. I said, where do you guys want to go? They all wanted to go to this one place. I said, okay, we're going somewhere else. Just to remind them that they don't control the family. And I said, and daddy's spirit filled. I don't know if they remember that. You guys remember that? I thought that was really cool. But so many families, what happens is that everything is centered around the children. Everything is done because of the children. Life is because of the children. We live for the children. When the children leave, mom and dad separate. Listen, children are welcome roles into the family. And are they special? They're very special. I love all my five kids. Wouldn't trade them for the world. But they're not more important than Jesus. And their role is not more important than Crystal, my wife. So the third role I see in this text, children obey your parents. So we have the parents. The parents are supposed to be the leaders of the home. Figure that out. Contrary to humanism, contrary to cartoons, contrary to what the world is trying to say, the family leadership is mom and dad. So let's see those family responsibilities. We saw the Christian family roles. Now let's notice the Christian family's responsibilities. Look there again, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at this. Paul is assuming that children are present. He makes a statement, children. So it's as if when the letter of Ephesians got there and they read it, that children would be present and hear that. And as I look out, I see children, and it's great that we have children hearing the Word of God. First thing we see is that children are to fulfill their God-given responsibilities toward their parents. Children are to fulfill their God-given responsibilities toward their parents. And the first responsibility is reflected by actions of obedience. The first responsibility is reflected by actions of obedience. He says, children, obey your parents. Obey is an imperative. It has the idea of listen to. Listen, it's doing what the parents say when they say it. If I say to Joshua, my son, come here, when he was little, and he kept playing, and he talked to his buddy, and then he came. Did he obey me? Did he listen to me? No. Obedience demands doing what mom, dad say when they say it. When they say it. This is why, parents, that we need to be clear what we say. We need to be clear in how we communicate to our children. Proverbs talks about this over and over. It talks about that the child gives his ear to the father, that the child gives his eyes and his heart and his ears to, so that he is paying attention so he may understand clearly the command. And we as parents need to be careful to how we do that command. We need to make sure we mean what we say and say what we mean. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21 gives a warning for children that don't obey. Look at the background of the Jewish faith in the law. If any man has a stubborn, rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn, rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Did Israel take serious? I don't know of any record that they ever actually obeyed this command, this law. But God was showing the seriousness of a constant rebellious son. And showing the seriousness of obedience, how we need to obey. Listen up, children. You need to obey your parents. They're not going to take you out and stone you today. But they may do some other things that hurt. Like take away your PlayStation. Oh no. That really hurts, doesn't it, kids? Or may do other things. Obey is a command, and it must be done right away when the parents say it. Listen, obey. Look at Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Some people think that in the Lord modifies parents, but it does not. If it was modifying parents, it would only mean this then, that we only need to obey our Christian parents or when our parents are acting right before God. That's not what it's saying. In the Lord modifies obey. And it has the idea that as children obey their parents, they are obeying God. They are submitting to the authority that God has given into their life. Matter of fact, the parallel passage in Colossians 3:20 says that obedience, children that obey, is well-pleasing to the Lord. So listen up, children. When you obey your mom and dad, God is excited and happy. You may not be thrilled to clean up your room, but God in heaven is smiling. Because why? He says it is well-pleasing to him when you obey. And listen to this, parents. When you teach your children not to obey, you actually are teaching them that it's okay to be insubordinate to Jesus Christ. And then later when they're rebellious, you say, how did that happen? You were the cause of it, part of it. When we do not demand obedience from our children because it's inconvenient, because we're lazy or we're embarrassed, we are actually saying to Jesus Christ, I know you're Lord, but not today. Because that's what whole Colossians is about. Colossians is about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And so when he says that, obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord, it is to remind us as parents and remind the children, hey, obeying mom and dad is like obeying God. That's right. Failure to learn to obey and to listen to the authorities that God has given makes rebellious people in the future. Rebel against teachers, government, pastors. Yeah. Disrespect of any authority. They make terrible husbands and terrible wives. Serious stuff. God knew it. Yeah, interesting. He says, obey your parents, for this is right. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. God sets the standard and shows this is the right thing to do. Interesting, though, in the Greek-Roman times, it was right in their minds, too. Children should obey their parents. But listen, society should not give us the standard of our children. Who cares what the Greek and Romans were saying? We want to care about what Jesus is saying. Who cares what United States government is saying? We care about what Jesus is saying. You know what I mean? I mean, we should care, but you know what I'm saying. In comparison to Jesus, the standard is right. Obeying your parents is right. Well, that's the first responsibility reflected. That should be reflected. The second responsibility that should be reflected is an attitude of honor. An attitude of honor. Ephesians 6:2 says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor here has the idea to count as valuable, to hold in the highest respect. Honor is an expression of an attitude. So now we can say it like this. Do what parents say, when parents say it, with a heart that values God. You say values God? Yeah. Values God. Because it's a commandment by God. Honor your parents. I honor my parents. I honor who? God. Honoring is becoming a foreign practice today in America. John MacArthur wrote this. He said, near 8 million serious assaults are made by children on parents in the United States alone. We have heard of children killing parents for just being annoyed by their orders of not allowing them to do what they want. Kids are encouraged by radio, TV, and the world to get what they want, and they live to gratify self. This type of behavior only leads to disrespect of all kinds of authorities, as we shared, policemen, teachers, pastors. The command to honor parents has far more ramifications than making a home life functional. Paul here quotes the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments when he says this, honor your father and mother. He quotes it because it was necessary to show that it's still applicable for today. Interesting, he says it's the first commandment with a promise. And as we look at the Ten Commandments, it's actually the fifth commandment. But it is the first commandment with a promise. Some think the second commandment has a promise, but it's more talking about the character of God. But the fifth commandment actually is talking about a promise. So children are to obey the parents of the Lord, for this is right. Honoring your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Notice that. Notice these promises. These are awesome. Children, pay attention. You honor mom and dad, and he's saying here that life may go well with you. It's a quality life that you will have. You want a quality life, young person? Honor your mom and dad. I try to teach my children, their greatest cheerleader are not their peers. The greatest cheerleader in their lives is mom and dad. Their peers don't buy them food every week. Their peers don't buy them clothes. Peers are important, but the greatest cheerleader in your life is mom and dad. Learn it quick. What do you want in life, son? Oh, I want this, and it'd be great to be like this, and it'd be great to have this, and it'd be great to have a wonderful wife, and write this. Listen to mom and dad. Honor mom and dad, because we want the best for you, don't you? How many here want the worst for your kids? Yeah, I hope my kid doesn't make it in the business world. I hope he's a lazy bum, mooching off everybody. And I hope he marries someone totally weird. You know, I mean, that is what I want. You know, son calls up, dad, have no money. Great, you're in a great spot. Love it. Keep it up. Proud of you. I mean, is that how we are? No. And our kids need to know that. We need to train our kids from the beginning. Listen, I want my home to be the funnest home in the block. I don't want my kids to think the funnest home somewhere else. Come down to Brazil, check out our home, see if it's fun. I guarantee we'll have a great time. We really will. We'll have good food, if you like papaya and mangoes and stuff like that. And we'll have a great time. Because I want my kids to think, you know what, mom and dad, they love me to death. They're so much fun. My dad's a little crazy, but mom is great. You know? I want them to realize that life is an obedience to Jesus Christ, and it's honoring mom and dad. You know, the Israelites had the law which was told to them, if you obey, you'll be blessed. Deuteronomy 28 talks about those blessings. But it's interesting, Paul applies this to us now. And he makes it clear that, yeah, he takes out the idea of the land of Israel from the command. He keeps that out because the land is not for the church. We're not the Roman Catholic Church. We're not going to do crusades in Israel. But he does keep in so that it may be well with you, a quality life. You know, I was sitting and thinking about that as I was having my first son, Joshua, and he was sitting in his high chair. And I was trying to think, you know, what does that really mean? You know, what is that quality of life? And all of a sudden, he starts to stand up in his high chair. And I say, hey, son, sit down. And he says, no, he doesn't want to sit down. And we have cement floors. Man, kid smacked his head hard. I thought he was retarded from that day on. I said, he's done. He is. There's no way he's surviving from that. And then it hit me. That's part of what the text is saying. If you listen to mom and dad, you wouldn't fall off the chair and get those kind of bruises. As children realize the love and care parents have for them, they realize what they're trying to teach them is really best for them and gives them a well life. When a child lives in harmony with his parents, life is better. Mutual love and respect is a wonderful place to be. But not only is it a quality life, it's a quantity life. He said there in verse 3, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Not heaven. He's on the earth. You say, you mean I can live long? In general, yeah. If you honor your parents, you should learn the characteristics and abilities to avoid ungodliness that would destroy your life. Give you an example of two boys that didn't listen to their dad, and their life was cut off quickly. One is, I'm going to kill the names, but here it is, Hophni and Phinehas. They were Eli's sons. You can read about them in 1 Samuel 3 and 4. They died an early death because the scriptures make it real clear, because they did not listen to the rebuke. They were disobedient. You can have a quantity life. The Christian family hopefully has children that are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit family, that's what we're talking about here. When children are filled of the Spirit, they obey and honor their parents. A Brazilian young person wanted to see his parents come to know the Lord. He came up to me for counsel. He said, my parents don't know the Lord. What can I do? I said, well, listen, you want to always obey and honor them. You want to honor your parents. They're unsaved. You still have to honor them. Then you say, well, what if they tell me to do something against God's word? Well, that's another sermon. That's another sermon, another time. But right here, you want to, when your parents tell you something, you want to obey and honor them, and you want to let them know you honor them because of Jesus. I know a lady, she had a difficult parent. Ungodly, terrible demands. But because of the Holy Spirit, was convinced, needed to honor her parent. And it went well with her. And when you fail to honor, I told him, I said, when you fail to honor your mom and dad, I said, come to them and ask forgiveness. And say, Dad, forgive me, that was wrong. And Dad may say, well, that's what you're doing, that's weird. I say, no, what I'm doing is because of Jesus. Because Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I do not want to sin against him, and he tells me to honor you. We need children filled with the Spirit and fulfilling their God-given responsibilities, don't we? But we need parents too. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So parents are to fulfill their God-given responsibilities toward their children. In verse 4, the word fathers is in the plural. And it has the emphasis that men are to lead in this. So many times, women lead the home for spiritual life and for regular life. You know, I get it, guys. You work all day, and you come home, and you want to relax. And you let your guard down. But if your wife has been taking care of the kids all day, she's been working all day too. And what you need to do is come home and take charge of caring for your wife and for the family. Men, we need to rise up and be the leaders that God is asking us to be. We need, and it's a great place to be. It's such a joy to be leading in your home. It's tiring. It takes a lot of strength. Crystal will come in and say, one of our kids acted up. And I said, again, why are they so much like me? You know? And I have to go and deal with them again and again and again and again. But it's my responsibility. It's my God-given responsibility. Fathers need to lead. There is a negative command to the parents here. I believe it could be applied to both mom and dad, but it's the emphasis for the fathers to lead. There's a negative command that parents must fulfill. It says, do not provoke your children to anger. This word, to provoke, it's in the command, and it has the idea to irritate or exasperate or to frustrate. I don't want to make my child angry. Many kids have explosive or passive rebellion towards their parents, for they've been provoked. Why is my kid like that? Well, let me explain it to you why. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, so they will not lose heart. So they won't lose heart. You know, the Jewish and Roman society gave a lot of governmental power to the father of the family. Listen to this. A Roman father could cast their kid out of the house, sell them to slavery, or even kill them. When a child was born, the baby's fate was cast at the feet of the father. If he picked up the child stayed alive. But if he walked away, the child was discarded. So this command was a shock to the Roman world. A shock. Our God was making it clear, I do not approve of such behavior. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Don't irritate them. Don't frustrate them. It was needed to give that negative command right away. A father may have good intentions, thinking he's doing what is good for his child, but sometimes of not being sensitive to what's really going on in that child's heart, he ends up provoking him. Some ways to provoke a child to wrath is show favoritism. We see that, don't we? With Joseph in Genesis. Rachel and Jacob seemed to love Joseph more, and that made all the brothers excited, didn't it? No, it provoked them to the point that they wanted to kill him. How about comparing? Do you ever compare your kids? That can provoke them. Why aren't you like him? Why aren't you like Pastor Summer's kids? Or why aren't you like so-and-so's kids? Don't ever say this, kids, but why don't you say, why aren't you like Pastor Summer's? No, no, don't say that. But comparing is not good. We don't like it, men, do we? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Your wife come home and say, man, honey, I wish you were like Brian Neal. Such a hunk of a good-looking guy. You know? And Brian's going, amen. I mean, we wouldn't like that, would we? None of us like that. It can provoke. Over-demanding rules. Not showing genuine care for the child. Pushing achievements beyond unreasonable bounds. I knew a gal in Brazil in her first term. I've never seen this before. She went into shock. Shock. Prettiest little gal. She was a teenager at the time. Crystal and I were just learning the language and in Fortaleza. And her mom made her do everything. Taking care of the other kids, doing the cooking and the cleaning, and she had to do school, and she had to do this, and demand. Till one day, when I came up to her, I don't know what the medical condition is, Brother Gillette, I don't know what it's called, but she was just like this. It was like a wall. She had broke. And I had never seen that before. It kind of scared me. I was like, wow, you can be pushed so far. Discouraging your children with never giving them encouraging words. How about this one? Not letting a child be a child. Recognizing children will be children. Why'd you spill that water for at the table? You know, well, they spilled it because of just being a child. It happens. Verbal abuse and physical abuse, all that drives. There's a great book by a guy named Lou Priolo. It's The Heart of Anger. It's forwarded by John MacArthur, and it talks about basically about like 25 ways that we can provoke our children to wrath. It's really good. I remember reading it. It's worth getting. That is the negative. Do not provoke. So parents, we're not to provoke our children. Let me ask you, have you provoked your child? If you have, you need to ask him what? Forgiveness, because Jesus is the biggest role in your family. And you want to obey him. See? The second command is a positive command. There's a positive command that parents must fulfill. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up is the next command. It's positive. Has the idea of everything that goes in raising a child to adulthood. I want to bring that child up to adulthood. And I want to bring them up. The first thing I see is bring them up in discipline. In discipline. Discipline can be positive and discipline can be negative. It can have a general educational idea. It may have an idea of fathers helping their children to restrain themselves and guide their minds and attitudes and actions to know how to live godly in an ungodly world. I remember Pastor Mike sharing with me early in life that one of the errors that Christian parents do is that they are not giving consistent discipline to their children. Consistent discipline. And he showed how that was important. And he even had some proverbs to go with it. Consistent discipline, look at this, drives foolishness from the child. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. So consistent discipline drives foolishness from the child. Isn't that true? Think about yourself back in your when you were a child. Did you do anything foolish? Some reason, my neighbor friend and I thought it'd be really cool to go to the house being constructed in the neighborhood and break every window with a rock. We thought, that is so cool. Listen to the sound it makes. Psh! That was neat. Give me another rock. And then came cops and discipline.
And I learned it's not cool to break the windows of the neighbor's house. I learned that it's actually foolishness. And so, discipline would drive that from me. And I have not broken a window since. Consistent discipline not only drives foolishness from the child, but it directs a child towards wisdom. The rod and reproof, Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Isn't that interesting? It said mother there. Because sometimes I think mothers, we go, oh, let him be, let him be, let him be. And as a mom, we think we're letting him be. And then later, the child brings shame to you who let it be. Directs a child towards wisdom. Thirdly, it demonstrates love. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who withholds his rod hates his son. Did you catch that? He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Wow. Yeah. Fourthly, he says, delights the souls of his parents. When you correct your son, Proverbs 29:15 says, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. He will delight your soul. And then, the last one of consistent discipline, it drives foolishness away. It directs a child towards wisdom. It demonstrates love. It delights the souls of the parents. And it develops spiritual fruit. Hebrews 12:11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we are bringing up our children, what? In discipline. And we are to bring up the child in instruction of the Lord. The instruction of the Lord. He gets more specific here. And I put it in this way, in direction. So we need to bring them up in discipline, and we need to bring them up directing them. We need to direct our children. We just don't let them choose what they want to be, you know. We don't want them to, you know, just go, child, you're going to make it in life. And let every influence of the world impact them instead of you impacting them. No, we have the responsibility of directing them in the Lord. Fathers need to direct their children in the things of the Lord. And listen, this isn't just that I'm getting my child outwardly to obey. It's also helping my child understand what's going on with his heart. Help him to understand, why is it you want to rebel against me? Why is it you want to disobey? Because you have sin. And why do you have sin in your heart? Why does sin so much control you? Because you don't have Jesus. Another great book, I don't have it to show it to you. I have it in my library in Brazil, but it's Shepherding a Child's Heart by Tripp. Great book. Because it's a great book because it reminds us it's not about just manipulating, controlling the child to do what you want them to do. It's about actually helping the heart, shepherding the heart so the child can see what he ought to be doing. A father needs to direct his children in the things of the Lord. Abraham Lincoln said this, one is not poor that has a godly mother. A Chinese proverb says this, one generation plants a tree, the next gets to enjoy its shade. Listen, kids, yeah, your mom and dad may not have the boat, they may not have everything you think they should have, but if they have Jesus and are training you about that, you have the greatest gift in this world. You have godly parents. I always tell my kids, you guys have no idea how wonderful it is to have me. And Crystal. Really? Isn't that true? I mean, we're not bragging about ourselves. It's Jesus that did it. Jesus transformed me. Jesus transformed Crystal. And Jesus allowed us to have children. And as they raised up, I said, aren't you glad I'm not coming home and beating you to death? Aren't you glad I'm not smacking you around? Aren't you glad I don't come home drunk and you have no idea what I'm going to be like? Aren't you glad mom and dad aren't in the back room smoking weed? Aren't you glad that it's just not mom that you come home to and there's no dad? See, my kids have no understanding of that. To them, it's always been mom and dad. But I'm so happy they get out and they see the real world. And the real world is disastrous family lives. And so my kids need to see, it is a great thing to have godly parents. This is a great thing. Listen, if you're the single parent in the home, you need, as a single parent, continue to give your kids the best thing to have, and that is instruction of the Lord, direction in the Lord. You need to have time, that Deuteronomy passage, Deuteronomy 6, you need to have time where you are systematically teaching the truths of God. Listen, remember that old advertisement that said, say no to drugs? Do you guys remember that, that are my age and up? Yeah. There used to be an advertisement that said, just say no to drugs. Listen, if we teach our kids a theological conscience, that's the only thing they can do. We need to be teaching our children and giving them that instruction systematically in the home. But we also need to be teaching them according to Deuteronomy as we're on the path and as we rise and where we are, wherever we're at. In other words, Christianity influences every sphere of our home, of our life. It influences how we're going to work, how I'm going to treat my employee, how I'm going to act and react to certain situations within the family. Our kids need to see that God gives direction in every aspect. I remember a Brazilian pastor visiting me in Montreal with his little boy. And I had this crazy dog. I think I talked about him once. I had this dog that I told you, they said it was a Dalmatian. And it didn't have spots when I bought it, but they said, oh, the spots will come later. And I believed it. The spots never came later. And it never grew up to be real big. It just was a wild, crazy dog. And he was visiting our house, and the dog got loose, and I can still see the image of the little boy running down the hallway, terrified, and my dog's coming after him. And the little boy made it, and I'll never forget what the Brazilian pastor said to his son. He said, son, wasn't that great? God saved you like he saved Daniel from the lions. And I thought that was great. Because it's, you know, applying life, applying truth into practical life. Direction in the Lord. Well, children and parents must practice their God-given responsibilities. How are you guys doing? You doing well? Are you having that time of teaching? Are you doing that? Are you having that time of discipline? Are you being consistent? Sometimes it's good to bring all the kids around and say, hey, haven't been very consistent, forgive me. From here on out, we're going to do better. Let me ask in conclusion some questions. First to the children. Children, are you obeying your parents? By doing what they say, when they say it, with a joyful heart. A heart that says, I'm going to honor God. How are you doing in that area? Maybe you struggle because you truly don't have God in your life. You have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Today you can repent of your rebellion towards your parents and God and ask Jesus to forgive your sins. You can trust that Jesus died for sin, rose again, and only He has the power to save you eternally. Trust Him today. And then look what Ephesians 1:13 says. In Him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That moment you accept Christ as your Savior and He transforms you, you have the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit can fill you, control you, so that you can obey your parents in the Lord. How about this, children? Do you value your parents? Do others see by your words and your attitudes and actions that you really consider your parents valuable? Maybe you're here and you say, oh, you don't know my parent. Hey, I don't care. I don't need to know your parent. I know the God of your parent. And the God of your parent says, honor your mom. And just because of that, you need to give them honor and her honor. You need to value them. Young people, are you convicted that the way you treat your parents is a reflection of your true worship to Christ? What about high schoolers? Is Christ really supreme in your life? Are you really seeing that in a biblical perspective? I hope so. How about parents, fathers? Are you leading your children with love and instruction? Are you disciplining your children out of faith in God? Say, man, I tried to discipline my child. It doesn't work. No. You're not getting it. We discipline out of faith in God. He tells us to do it. He says, train them up in discipline. We just keep doing it because we honor God. And we pray that our children turn out well. Fathers, are you teaching the Bible to your children? Are you excited about the next generation, or do you keep complaining about the next generation? We must seek God as families. We need to be praying for our families. Listen, we need to be praying for others' families. You know what Pastor Mike did once? He was in a meeting with other pastors, and they were talking about mission philosophy. And he just asked, other pastors if they could just name their missionaries' kids. What do you think the pastors could do? They couldn't do it. Then he asked, well, could you just name the missionaries' names? And I think he said only half could do it. I am so thrilled to have a church body that is praying for Joshua, Jordan, Jonathan, Juliana, and James. And soon to come, Esther. And I'm so thankful that you pray, and I'm so thankful you know my weaknesses. I'm so thankful that I'm transparent. I don't hide anything from you in the sense, I mean, you see what my weaknesses are, and you know what needs to be prayed for. And you know how to pray for Crystal. And we're so thankful for that. We need the prayers of one another. You know what's awesome to me is when my teenage child comes up alongside one of you and I hear one of you saying the same thing that I've always said. I love that. Because it's instruction of the Lord. Listen, old person, if you're here and you don't talk to young people, shame on you. Shame on you. Well, I don't know what to say to them. Tell them about how great our God is. You know, we're a family. We need to be encouraging the family. We need to be praying for the family. And we need to be doing this all by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to allow God to work in us so that we can practice our roles and responsibilities by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for being a God that is above the family, but involved. You care about when one hair falls. Lord, how we come to you when our children are sick and we beg for their health. But Lord, help us to come to you daily to ask you to help us to discipline and direct our children, to be sensitive to areas that we may be provoking them and to avoid that. Lord, help our children to honor you and honor mom and dad. Father, thank you that you love the family. You created the family, and you've given instruction for the family. Help us to be obedient to your principles for the family, to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.